One. Ephesians chapter 1, and if you don't have a Bible with you, perhaps the person next to you will be kind enough to read on with you. You listen on. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're commencing our reading at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1, commencing at verse 1, let us hear God's word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 14, knowing that the Lord will bless the reading of his word for his own name's sake. Taking again the hymn books that are, that's good singing. Thank both her sisters for accompanying the music and those pieces that we sang to the praise of God. Having our Bibles open at the passage that we read earlier from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. With God's word open before us again, let us bow briefly before the Lord, seeking his face, conscious that we come to the most important part of the meeting, and that is the proclamation of divine truth. And therefore, let us still our hearts in his presence, bowing our heads and our hearts before him, asking him for that help even now. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can call thee our Father because of our union in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the second person of the Trinity, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we ask of thee that thou wilt succour to our cry this day, and that thou wilt come running to our aid, that thou wilt hide us behind the cross, that none will be seen save Jesus only. Speak to sinner and saint alike. Bless thine own blood-bought people. And speak to those outside of Jesus Christ. And not only speak to them, but do that gracious work that only thou can do. Empty me now of self and of sin. Fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Shut us in with thyself, and bless the words of thy mouth. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, careful to give thee all the praise and glory, which is due thy name. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Redemption supposes captivity and slavery, and there's a deliverance out of it. You see, God's elect by nature are in bondage to sin, Satan and the law. Yet through the grace of Christ, they are redeemed out of the hands of him that is stronger than they. And they're freed from the law, its bondage, curse, and condemnation, and from every other enemy. And this benefit, this blessing, Christ is the author of. For he and he alone of the blessed Trinity was called to be the Redeemer of his people from all eternity. And he alone was sent in the fullness of time to procure redemption for them to which he had a right, being their kinsman, and for which he was every way fit, being God as well as man, and which he has obtained by his obedience, sufferings, and death, and in whom it resides, and, well, its proper subject and author, who by imputation is made redemption to the chosen ones, not for angels, but men, share in this redemption. And not all men, but elect men, such as are chosen in Christ, predestined to the adoption of children by him, and who are accepted in the Beloved. And this comes to them through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was freely shed on Calvary's cross and was a sufficient ransom or redemption price, it being not only the same blood with those who are redeemed, but the blood of an innocent person, and not of a mere man, but one who is truly and properly God as well as man, and therefore by means of the atonement which he has made, We obtain through His blood the forgiveness of sins. That is, of all sins, original and actual, past, present, and to come. And this is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption by the blood of Christ. And therefore, right at the very outset, we make no apology whatsoever for placing emphasis upon the blood of the everlasting covenant, which means the sacrificial death of Christ. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. This is the blood of Christ, His own blood, and not the blood of bulls and goats, and the same with that of the persons He redeems, but untainted with sin, because the blood of Christ is as of a lamb without blemish and without spot of original or actual sin. Otherwise, it would not have been a sufficient redemption price for His people. And so, firstly, there is the source of redemption. The source of redemption in whom? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It is by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the atonement made for sin that Christ made on Calvary's cross. And therefore, the redemption of sinners flows from the atonement made by Jesus Christ. It is His blood, and as the Holy Ghost says, precious blood. Precious blood. Look with me back in the third book of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book of the Pentateuch, Leviticus chapter 17, a well-known verse of God's precious word, Leviticus chapter 17, Leviticus chapter 17, a well-known verse, a verse that is often, part B is only quoted. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And therefore, hence, it was appointed to make atonement with. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, the sinner deserved to die. The sinner deserved to die. And therefore, the sacrifice must die. My friend, it was necessary for Christ to suffer, because God's holiness requires the punishment for sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. And so God appointed the sprinkling or the pouring out of the blood of the sacrifice upon the altar to signify that the life of the sacrifice was given to God. It was objective. It was Godward first and foremost. And so the sacrifice was given to God. instead of the sinner's life, and as a ransom or counter price for it. For as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And therefore, this is in clear reference to the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of redemption upon the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You see, the animal sacrifices could never take away sin. And so they were pointers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this clearly borne out in Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And therefore, hence, the legal sacrifice did not of themselves take away sin. Did not take away sin, so it was impossible that they should. For such blood shed could never answer the penalty of the law, satisfy divine justice, or secure the honor of divine holiness. But what the blood of these creatures could not do, the blood of Christ has done and does. And therefore, Christ made the atonement by reason of His perfect obedience. His perfect obedience. And the shedding of His precious blood. And because the atonement has been made, there is the redemption of sinners as a result, in whom we have redemption through His blood. And therefore, Christ is the source of redemption. He is the source of redemption. His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, because there's only been one man qualified. One man qualified to make atonement, and that one man is the God-man, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that makes atonement for the soul, because the blood of Christ is the blood of the impeccable, incorruptible, incarnate God-man. He was able not to sin. Not able to sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And my friend, there have been many in this congregation, and you've had the great privilege of being nurtured in the catechism. And I never tire of saying it, and neither should you. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was, and continueth to be, God and man in two distinct natures. And one person forever. And the child of God looks forward to being with Christ, to seeing His Redeemer as He is, for we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There is also the price of redemption. The price of redemption. You see, Christ paid the price. Christ paid the price required by giving His life, because redemption is secured at the price of the life of Christ. Such was the price. Such was the price. There was a price paid. The price which sin had incurred. The price by which sin's debt is paid. For ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wasn't by silver or gold. Wasn't by a sum of money. But with the precious blood of Christ, being ransomed out of the bondage of the law, ransomed by a price from the bondage of the law, sin, Satan, and the law, and therefore Christ's blood is strictly a ransom paid to God's justice by the love of God in Christ. For our redemption, ye are bought with a price, purchased for God by the blood of His Son. Wasn't by a sum of money. We see that borne out in Psalm 49. Psalm 49, turn to it if you will. Psalm verse 49. Psalm verse 49 and the verses 6 to 8. Psalm 49, verses 6 to 8, and we read the following. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth forever. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for them. For the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth forever. Rome's teaching to this day is completely contrary to what the Bible teaches. The redemption of the soul is not by money. For the only price of the redemption of the soul is the precious blood of Christ. His life is the ransom price. That is Christ Himself. And neither is the redemption of the soul possible upon any other ground. For Christ has purchased eternal redemption for His people. It is the deliverance of God's elect, a chosen generation from the slavery and guilt of sin into a state of salvation by the means and merit of the ransom paid by Christ on our behalf. And so the deliverance has been purchased and is now the possession of all true believers, as it's borne out clearly in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your feigned conversation received by tradition, from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is the only price of man's redemption. Through His blood. By His blood. And therefore we as the people of God, we as the people of God, we ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, the beneficiaries of something that cost the very life of the Son of God. We ought to stand in awe at being the beneficiaries, the recipients, of something that cost the very life of the Son of God. There is, thirdly, the result of redemption. The result of redemption. You see, God's redemption deals with the problem of our sins. You see, the atonement satisfied a holy God. And therefore, the sinlessness of Christ is essential to our salvation, in that only a lamb without blemish and without spot is an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And so to reject the impeccability of Christ, that He was not able to sin, not able to sin, to reject such a teaching, the impeccability of Christ, is to undermine the efficacy or the power of His atoning blood. You see, the Redeemer is sinless. And He is sinless because He was virgin born, and only the blood of incarnate deity can propitiate the wrath of God. Appease the wrath of God. Remove the guilt of our sin. And reconcile us to God. And therefore, because of the satisfaction of God's justice, there is deliverance from sin. There is redemption. There is freedom. Freedom from sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so here we see that forgiveness of sin comes to us entirely through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And therefore, if we go to Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes especially upon His atoning sacrifice, we have pardon by virtue of His blood. And so by Christ's atonement, men are given release. Men are set free from the bondage, the slavery of sin. Because the price is paid by the subject to the object. And so even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. And so He died. He died as the sacrifice. And by parting with His life, made atonement for sin and so rescued ours. Because once the sinner has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, then he is freed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the bondage of Satan. And so we obtain the forgiveness of sins through His blood or through the atonement He has made. We're not only to suppose, We're not only to suppose that this is all the benefit which we receive from his death, or that this is all that constitutes redemption. It is perhaps the most important thing. But we also obtain the hope of heaven. The hope of heaven. The influences of God's Holy Spirit. Grace to guide us and support us under every and any trial. Peace and death. To be with Christ, which is far better. Many more benefits. Still, forgiveness is so prominent and important that the Apostle Paul has mentioned that as if it were all. And so this remission, this forgiveness, being the explanation of redemption, includes not only the deliverance from sin's penalty, but from its pollution and enslaving power, and the reconciliation of an offended God and a satisfaction unto a just God. And finally, well, there is the basis of redemption. The basis of redemption. According to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. You see, his grace, unmerited favor, undeserving, for God, of his rich grace, found the ransom price and gave his Son. Man didn't provide himself a Savior. God provided a lamb for a burnt offering. God provided himself. Himself, a lamb for a burnt offering. And so he gave his Son, as well as he gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. And that's the basis upon which any sinner experiences redemption from sin. Grace. Love. Exercised towards the undeserving. The unworthy. The free, undeserved goodness and favor of God. The grace of God. You see, God would have been just to pass us all by and leave us to ourselves and leave us to our own self-determined sinfulness. But he hasn't, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so every converted sinner is simply a saved sinner. A saved sinner. For such are delivered from sin and wrath. They are brought into a state of salvation, and have a right given them by grace to eternal happiness. And so the grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God. For he saves them through faith in Jesus Christ. And so when a sinner is joined to Christ, the saving merit and power of Christ's blood are applied to the soul. And so, as I stated earlier, so say I now again, it was necessary for Christ to suffer because God's holiness requires the punishment for sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. And so I ask you this solemn question. Question that demands and requires an answer. Are you redeemed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because it is only when you seek Christ and are joined to Him by faith that you can answer, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, make sure that you have sought Him, that you have sought Him with all your heart, and never rest until you know that you've been washed from your sins by the precious blood of Christ. Yes, Christian, though the eye of faith, at times be dim, praise God, His eye changes not. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Sinner, dear one outside of Jesus Christ, come and receive the atonement. Come, the blood sprinkled way. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. For He was God of very God. Christ died, and God accepted the blood of Christ. And therefore, He cannot reject the sinner who pleads that blood, because the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And therefore, the redeemed of God can say, "This is my beloved Savior, in whom I am well pleased, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord. dear one outside of Jesus Christ, we are here as an ambassadors of God, as though God did beseech you, ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We'll be here after the meeting, the elders, myself. Friend, if you're concerned about the eternal well-being of your soul, well, you stay behind. But we can't do anything for you, but we simply can point you to the one who can, to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for so great salvation. We thank Thee that salvation is found in a person. We thank Thee that that person is our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we long that what we have received, that others would receive also. And we ask of Thee that Thou wilt do that gracious work that only Thou can do. Part us with Thy blessing. Give journeying mercies. Remember the service later on. We pray for Thy servant. We love him in the Lord. We pray that You'll fill him full of the Holy Ghost and with power, and that You'll give him that great joy of pointing souls to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Help us now to keep Thy day and honour Thy name, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.